Chapter 71. Jenk left soon afterward. I'd cast resurrection on the hordes of dead zippers in the shrill's large intestine, and I'd had the incision talent already plotted out and ready to go. If he'd made a move to attack, I'd have activated the talent, which would have opened up the intestine he sat upon, dropping him into a tube filled with ravening, undead zippers. But he left without incident, and I was relieved at that. I was overwhelmed with the possible revelations, one after another. Mary. Ruth. Clara. Could any of it be true? I went about the shrill, healing the best I could, my mind still reeling. I killed pig spiders, regenerating my soul power. Banksy and Clara remained in hell, occasionally grappling with retreating armies. I told Banksy to hold tight, to wait for me. I would be there soon, and I would bring the shrill. But I had some things to take care of first, so it would be several hours. Killing Lamashtu had rocketed Banksy up to level 49. What was I going to do? Everything had gone wrong. I couldn't stop thinking about Jenk and Clara and Ruth and Mary. Diego. She'd fucking named the dog Diego. And then I got mad at myself for caring about a stupid dog when my daughter was in jail, scared and all alone. No. Not alone. Not yet. She was going to have a baby girl. I don't lie, Jenk had said. Could that possibly be true? It couldn't be. What had Anatoly said to me? I'm creating a digital playground. He'd never said anything that directly contradicted Jenk. Clara had. She'd weaved a whole story. She was afraid of Jenk. That, I believed. She hated him. But I had caught her in multiple lies, too. Her story had changed. Fuck. What if everything Jenk had said was true? What could I do? For one thing, I had to finish the game. No matter what the truth was, time was ticking. I couldn't pull it off without Clara. I brought myself back to my base, sat on my couch, and I pulled Count Franz out of my bag.
Lad?
The caterpillar said, looking up at me.
You okay, mate? You don't look so good. I mean, worse than usual.
I grasped the top of the lantern, and I twisted, opening it up. The glowing sigil under his feet faded away. The caterpillar looked down at the base of his lantern with surprise. I need your help.
You realized you just set me free, right? I can just teleport away from here now.
I know. I should have let you go long ago. I'm sorry about that. But I wanted to ask something of you. As a friend.
Sure. I'll help you if you help me. What do you need?
Two things, actually. First, I have a couple of questions about your old boss, King Venea. And second, I was hoping you could deliver a message for me. I reviewed Banksy's stats, spells, and regen spot. At this point, there wasn't too much I could change. Once he hit 50, everything I configured now would become permanent. But I did have an idea. I made an alteration on his configuration in the familiar menu, and then I shot him a message telling him what I'd done. Banksy.
Father, are you sure that's a good idea?
Duke. Not even a little bit.
Entering Necroshire.
Halt!
How is it you guys still have control over this town?
We'll do whatever we want.
Little Cibola is gone. Before he could answer, a swarm of surgical imps appeared, overwhelming him, Sparks flew everywhere as he was brutally disassembled.
Hey, guys! Thanks for the backup!
Okay, yeah, thank you.
I'd given them a heads up that I was coming by grabbing myself a quick, easy upcycle I'd yanked out of a dead Tarisian's face. It changed my jawline by just a fraction, but it added plus one to my charm. Just as the upcycle commenced, I told them I'd be visiting and asked them to meet me at the gate. So, guys, I'm not looking for surgery right now. I happened to notice a shop the last time I was here. It's called Superior Sigils. It's only a few doors down from Shu's shop. I need to get there. I'd go to the shop in Medina, but it's not so safe for me right now. Think you can help me get there? I need to buy a ton of supplies.
Extract of Colocolomensis. Quantity, 5. This potion has a 50% chance of rendering the user blind for a period of 10 minutes, a 25% chance of giving the user invulnerability for 2 minutes, a 24% chance of moving the user immediately to the next player level, and a 1% chance of imbuing all 3 options. In addition, there's a 25% chance of immediately teleporting the user to the womb of Guardian Colocolo. This is a limited potion, and the player may only consume 5 of these potions in their lifetime. Consumed, 0 out of 5.
I had initially received 2 of these things from Stolas, and I'd sold 1. Later, just a day before Stolas had been taken out by Andrus, I visited the owl a second time and purchased 4 more. I'd been debating whether or not to actually use these for some time. The potential benefits now outweighed the pitfalls. Clara told me she'd also sold one of hers, and she'd tried the second. She didn't go up a level, nor had she teleported to Colo-Colo. She'd received the invulnerability buff. A waste. I wasn't too keen on the idea of being blinded and then thrown into the womb of a kaiju filled with hippo-sized rat monsters. I'd already spent more time in monster wombs than I cared to. My potion expander skill was a double-edged sword. If struck blind, I'd remain blind for 20 minutes, not 10. But I'd also go up 2 levels, not 1. And now I had the recall spell, so I could get out of there. I knew Colo-Colo was currently half-floating, half-lumbering toward the city. She was easily the slowest moving of all the guardians, and she'd fallen far behind the group. She was currently traversing over the hinterlands at the moment, not too far from Bast's stomping grounds.
Oh boy.
I pulled the first potion, popped the cork, and drank. The potion tasted like pure blood, and I held back the urge to vomit. Most potions tasted like nothing. The world went dark.
You've been rendered blind.
As the words faded, my interface disappeared, replaced with nothing but a 20-minute countdown timer and my health bar. I realized with horror that I couldn't navigate any menus, which meant I wouldn't be able to cast any spells. It was the equivalent of having silent cast on you in other games, only way more terrifying. I clutched onto the corner of my chair to confirm that I hadn't been teleported away. Well, shit. That changed things. As I waited for it to time out, I had an idea. I tried the upward cross motion that called up the spell menu. I usually didn't bother with the hand motions because you could pull up the window a lot more quickly with your mind if you knew what you were doing. But I made the motion, and I felt the distinctive haptic buzz of the menu opening. I could still cast spells. I just couldn't see what I was doing. The second time, I prepared the recall spell and left it open on the top right of the screen so I'd know exactly where to click.
Oh god.
Level up. Level up. You are now level 51.
Yes. Yes!
You are invulnerable.
A 2-minute timer started to descend as a yellow glow overwhelmed me.
Level up. Level up. You are now level 53. You may not consume another potion for 60 seconds.
Damn. Potion sickness. I hadn't realized that was a thing in this game. My invulnerability would wear off before I could drink the 5th and final potion. I spent the minute fiddling with my stats. I tossed the 4 points equally between strength and durability. Once the timer ended, I drank my last potion, hoping to get lucky a third time.
You've been rendered blind. Entering Colo-Colo, womb region. Deep dive activate.
I was submerged in a warm liquid, legs overhead as the notification faded away. I bounced off something meaty that grunted and squealed before I was pushed against what felt like a sheet of flesh that wrapped around my face, neck, and chest. I felt myself screaming, but instead I sucked in a mouthful of wet, rancid skin and a torrent of amniotic fluid.
Warning, you've been poisoned. Damage taken. Damage taken.
Noise erupted all around me, screams and trills and an all-encompassing vibration. The otherworldly shrieks cut through the liquid, sounding haunted and terrified and angry. Something pushed by me, causing me to twist as I scrambled into a tight ball, trying to get the flesh off my face. Instead of pulling away, the flowing skin wrapped around me like a towel, holding my head in place. Shit, shit, shit. My health decreased. It had been a long time since I'd been poisoned, though, and I was a hell of a lot stronger than I was the last time. I still didn't know if poison wore off or if it remained until cured. Thanks to my high durability, it would take a long time for it to zero me out at this rate. An hour at least, possibly longer. I had an antidote potion attached to my waist, but I had no idea which potion was which. I had to get out of here. I put my mind into the top corner and clicked. Nothing happened. I clicked again, moving the invisible cursor. Nothing. I clicked a third time. This time I felt the distinctive whoosh of the window closing. Mother goddamn. I'd accidentally closed the damn window. Fuck me. A massive form pressed against me, pushing me even tighter against the amniotic sac. The skin holding my head twisted further, and I started to feel enough pressure that I worried about being choked out. Or worse, my head just twisting off like a soda cap. While I could breathe in water and in poison gas, I could still be choked or suffocated, and I was in serious danger here. I grasped my knife, and I slashed forward, cutting the sac. Now, I'd made a lot of stupid decisions up to this point. I am fully 100% aware of this. In fact, if we took every decision I'd made since that day I sat down in front of Anatoly in the coffee shop and then listed out the stupid ones, I'm certain that list would be very long. And if we then decided to call out my top 10 stupidest moments, my impromptu decision to pierce Colo-Colo's sack of amniotic fluid would probably end up somewhere near the top. Chaos erupted all around me. Cutting open the sac had the same effect as sticking a needle into a water balloon. The same thing that happened with the shrill's testicle. Only this time, the balloon was filled with a couple dozen rat, slug, monster babies who apparently weren't supposed to be released into the womb at this point in their development. The liquid rushed away with a mighty slurp, like sewage being sucked down a drain. The mass of skin wrapped around my head did not drop away, and instead of floating underwater, I was now hanging by my face, flailing around and blind. A terrible, soul-wrenching squeal filled the chamber, followed a moment later by the bellowing echo of Colo-Colo, who knew something had gone terribly wrong within her own uterus. I heard another pop, followed by a splash. Then another. As I hung there by my head, flailing and blind, I realized the Guardian must have multiple monster-filled sacs within her massive womb. The premature rats had plummeted into the uterus and flailed about themselves, opening up more sacs, releasing more of the monsters until the entire womb was a thriving mass of fighting, screaming, angry, and scared beasts who didn't know where they were or what was happening. So, they chewed. I couldn't see them, but I heard them. They ate their way out of the womb and released themselves into the belly of the Guardian, becoming progressively more enraged as they burrowed out. My foot hit something solid. A monster, incredibly close, squealed. How'd it get so close? I thought they were all the way below. The truck-sized beast twirled and snapped as I lifted my legs. It latched onto something, though, and started ripping. My whole body started to sway back and forth. I managed to get the knife back into its sheath at my waist. I couldn't cast spells, but I could control my grappling hook. I switched on my shield and then selected the flamethrower attachment. I couldn't cut myself free, lest I fall. I didn't dare shoot my hand out to grab anything else. The roof of the womb was directly above me, and they were right below me. I kept the flamethrower ready in case I needed a weapon. The world jerked, and the flap of skin holding my head started to slowly unravel. I felt myself twisting and lowering at the same time. I was about to drop. And then, before I could deselect the flamethrower and switch to my grabber, I did drop. But I only fell a couple feet before I crashed on top of a solid, wet, angry mass of slug rat who went absolutely berserk the moment I touched him. Yes, cutting the sack of amniotic fluid could easily be considered one of my stupidest moves. It paled in comparison, however, to what I did next. I was blind. I was in an enclosed space. I was surrounded by hairy and angry monsters. And I shot my flamethrower. Here's an interesting fact. The amniotic fluid of Guardian Colo Colo is quite flammable.
You have died 21 times.
Blackjack.
I looked at the ceiling of my base. The sign that read, "Home Sweet Home," was the only adornment. I need to put more decorations up there. So I have something pretty to look at when I come back. I was laughing, but I couldn't remember why, which made me laugh more. I did this thing when I died now. Dr. Metcalf's disassociation theory. It worked. Sort of. I was getting good at it. The problem was getting out of that zone. It was getting more and more difficult to ease back into sound thinking once I returned. I looked up at the fleshy ceiling of the cockpit. I still felt like I was falling, spinning in the fiery abyss. It hadn't seemed like 2 minutes and 20 seconds. It felt like much, much longer.
Hey, Shrill. Zagan. If you're listening, I'd really like to talk to you. Your child is dead. So is Lamashtu. Ragel and Jeremiel are gone. Puskunji isn't dead, but she's out of the fight. A bunch of your brothers and sisters are down. Or dead. Beleth. Vinea. Paimon. I forget the rest. It's a fucking slaughter. Look, I don't know if this helps out or not, but I'm sorry how it's turned out. I know what it's like to lose someone and to hold a grudge. Christ, man. It's partially my fault. But there's someone else who is even more responsible. I'm going to try to make it right. Or maybe there is no right. You know, after something terrible has happened, we spend so much time trying to fix things when we just need to accept that they're broken. And they'll always be broken. But there is justice. I guess that's what I'm going for. Justice. And to do that, I need your help. Fuck. You're not listening, are you? Rockel said your mind is goo. You and me both, brother. But I need you. Do you think we can work together? No. Not Bale. Thank you so much for sticking with us through the paywall. I hope we've hooked you enough that you'll come back for our finale, episode 12, Cotton, which we'll be releasing on the one-year anniversary of the series and the two-year anniversary of the Sound Booth Theater platform, Halloween Day of 2022. By then, we will have a new app for you to listen through, and we'll be starting a new cinematic audio series, Seance, High Falls, written by Mark Harris and directed and produced by the visionary behind Malevolent, Harlan Guthrie. Kaiju Battlefield Surgeon, Episode 11, Hell. Written by Matt Dinneman, featuring Gary Francis Furlong as Franz, Shu, and Rogel. Andrea Parsnow as Banksy. Dory Sachs as Clara. Hannibal Hills as Bale, and Harlan Guthrie as Jink. Sound design by Richard Smith. Additional sound design by Ahmed Mahmoud and Augustine Jacob. Music by Aaron J. Morton. Narrated and directed by Jeff Hayes. Can't get enough of the Matt Dinneman and Jeff Hayes team? Check out Dungeon Crawler Carl on Audible. Looking for more game-lit and lit RPG audio? Check out the fantastic communities out there and Facebook groups, including the Gamelit Society, Lit RPG Books, and the Lit RPG Forum. Or, if Reddit is more your style, check out r/LitRPG. Text copyright 2019 by Matt Dinneman. Production copyright 2022 by Sound Booth Theater. A Sound Booth Theater production. See you again on Halloween.